Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Roundtable Sports Podcast. I'm your host, John Newman, and we are back using the studio mic here. I was doing that mobile episode last week before UFC 280. The last episode that I got out, it wasn't necessarily last week anymore, but went 4-2 in the predictions on the main card for all the predictions that I gave for UFC 280 there. Going to talk about a recap, what that night was there a couple Saturdays back now, we will recap some of the NFL action from around the league. My team, the Chiefs, were out of action this week on the bye week, and so there is plenty of news to talk about with the NFL trade deadline fastly approaching. Some big names moving: Robert Quinn, Christian McCaffrey, Kadarius Toney to my Kansas City Chiefs, somebody that was a highly touted prospect coming out of Florida there, Paul Hornung, Trophy Award winner, and great special teamer. So we will get into talking about that for my Chiefs fans. I did a little bit of research. Statistics show that basically most of you all that listen to this show are in Kansas City. We had some other listeners from other places as well, just mainly here in Kansas City, but I like to not include so much bias. I like to talk about the greater perspective of the sport. And, the Chiefs are in a good position. I forgot on the trades, Roquan Smith getting traded from the Bears to I already forgot where he got the Baltimore Ravens. Of course. Which shout out to the Ravens. I played Thursday Night Football. Some money on the Ravens. John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson and the crew were able to return me some profits there on that one. I money lined them. Plus, they were given 2 points. I should have bought a reverse spread action on that one. I could have made more profits, but I'm not going to beat myself up over it. Profits are profits. We got over to Kansas this past weekend. I did get over to Kansas this past weekend and get signed up for the FanDuel Sportsbook. I did a single game parlay. It didn't hit, but I won my money back by betting on Washington to close out that game. They were up by 1 point against Indy. Up 1 point against Indy, and I was able to get still get plus money for them while they were still up point. And I was like, Indy's not that good of a team. They're down a point and they're still favored here somehow. So I'm going to go ahead and take those Washington Commanders. And I got my money back. So definitely sitting with the same deposit that I initially had for FanDuel. My Missouri Tigers were able to finally get somebody in the top 25 and beat them. It's big for the program because you got guys that needed to buy in. They needed to see you guys go down there and kick the shit out of somebody on their homecoming, and it wasn't necessarily a close game. I won't say we kicked the shit out of them, but it wasn't necessarily a close game either. So well done by Eli Drinkwitz, right in the ship right now, and getting the changes done there for the University of Missouri. Fuck Kansas, and also go Wildcats, go K-State, just because that pisses Kansas fans off whenever Missouri fans say that. So that is the intro for the podcast. We do have a little bit of an obligation here, as I'm going to obligate myself to say it every episode. Rest in peace to Lenny the Cool Dawson, and also, rest in peace, since he's going to be featured heavily in this episode. The product of his existence is going to be featured heavily in this episode. Rest in peace to Abdulmanap Nurmagomedov. And, so let's get rolling. All right, I know I'm kind of a fast talker, but this is something that I wanted to spend at least a couple minutes of time on during this podcast. Clint Frazier, local Twitter user, had sent me a tweet that I have since screenshotted to be featured in this episode. Some stuff about the trade with Kadarius Toney coming here. Should we talk football first or fighting first? I think we're going to talk football first since, like I said, I discovered most of the listeners for this show are from Kansas City. We'll lead off with football. You guys can stick around if you guys like the mixed martial arts. If you like the boxing, we'll talk a little Jake Paul, Anderson Silva. I thought Anderson won on points, but the knockdown, obviously, in the eyes of the judges is going to, you know, sway some things. And who paid for the entire event to be put on? Of course, the Paul brothers and their promotion. So, you know, I'm not saying it was rigged, but kind of in a way I am. But no, I'm not gonna say it's fixed. It's definitely not fixed. Anderson was in there trying to give him his all, and you know, in the eighth round, made a mistake, ducked into a shot that Jake threw, and went down on the canvas. That was it for that. Let's move back to football and then talk UFC. We did have a Lomachenko fight this weekend as well. I need to do a little bit of the numbers digging on that so I can talk about it. Because I spaced it out. They were doing the introductions for the Paul and Silva fight, and I wanted to see how the spider was coming out and everything. And he's still, you know, interesting athlete to watch. That's to say the least. And big props to Anderson Silva for stepping in there against a young dude like that that's got a little bit of that size advantage. Okay. So here's the tweet that I was gonna, you know, spend a couple minutes on from Clint Switzer, from the Kingdom here, CSwitz77. He said, "I've learned today that a lot of Chiefs fans don't watch college football. Kadarius Toney was one of the more versatile players in the country at Florida, and the former Paul Hornung Award finalist and second team all." In the screenshot, of course, I was quoting it. I said, bingo take, leading off my next podcast with analyzing your tweet and its facts. I said in the intro, the Paul Hornung Award winner, so that was false information. He was a finalist for the award after going back and finding the interesting tweet that I thought could show you the actual growth potential that Kadarius Toney has in coming to the Chiefs. Is that coming out of college, you know, a lot, almost all 32 probably wanted to have that guy on their roster, just in some form or fashion. It's cool that Dave Tobe is getting, you know, a guy, a veteran special teams coach, a guy who's coached guys like Devin Hester in the past, Dexter McCluster and DeAnthony Thomas, is getting a guy that's kind of like those guys in a way. It's going to be fun to watch. I think it's going to definitely be a step ahead of what the Chiefs have on the field with Sky Moore. He's been underproducing, albeit a rookie. He has his chances to improve, find a role in the offense, maybe even find a role back on special teams if he can get the dropsies out. But when a guy is like that, they're usually like that almost permanently. And as mistakes go on, they mount up, you become less efficient and less sufficient as a return man. I don't think Tony's going to be completely reserved to that role. He will have an opportunity to play on offense in some form or fashion. The Chiefs use a lot of guys because of the pace in which Andy Reid likes to play. And it's very demanding. It's going to be a lot of learning. And I see fans hating on Andy for coming out and saying that we're not going to rush him along. And then they say, oh, here we go again. Here's another signing that's just going to sit on the bench. Shut the fuck up. Seriously. I'm sick and fucking tired of you bandwagon fucking assholes talking shit on this organization's top fucking guys that have brought us a Super Bowl championship when almost nobody in this entire fucking world that's ever existed could have done that, okay? And I'm sick of fucking hearing you guys go back and forth with one another over the most trivial, stupid shit. And it's clear cut and dry, none of you ever played. Some of you had never played team sports, have never been a part of a locker room, don't know what it's like. So stop talking shit on you know on Andy for saying that he's not going to fucking go out here in week one, blow his fucking wad with 1,000 Kadarius Toney plays on offense. He's not, you know, going to come in there and do what Christian McCaffrey did there when he came in and was instantly made that impact in the first half of the 49ers game against the Chiefs when he got traded from Carolina to San Fran. It's not going to be an instant impact like that. But on special teams on that side, maybe there is an instant impact. I'm not quite sure. There's definite reason. I didn't see what the compensation back for the Giants was, but these are two teams that I've kind of been toting the line for this season, definitely. Trying to keep them, trying to get them, you know, a confident fan base and the New York is a very sporadic place. I'd like the Giants fan base to be able to hold their own with Bills Mafia up there and be smarter about it. Cause I don't have any problems with the Giants as a football team. I don't think very many people do. They beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl. So that's incredible on its own. So shout out to Brett Veach and then the New York front office for being able to get that job done. It could be very mutually beneficial here at this point in time. That's my reaction to the Kadarius Toney trade. Before moving into anything else, I would like to condemn the despicable behavior displayed by it was a group of Michigan State Spartans players after the game against Michigan. One of the Wolverines was, I don't know if he was trying to head towards the Michigan State locker room to dap up one of his friends or something that played for State, but he got hit in the head with a helmet and then shoved back. Didn't go out, tough kid. At least there was enough of the adults in the room to get him, you know, from falling over and getting him to stand and go back to the Michigan locker room. It's so sad seeing that happen because, you know, I get it. It's competition. It's violent. And it's a violent sport. But after the game's over, after that final whistle, the thing you should want to do is shake that person's hand and say thank you for the opportunity to play against you today. And we just don't see it. We see this back and forth, chirpy, chirpy, this, that, the other. We'll get you next year. Shut the fuck up. Half your roster is going to be gone because of this incident, because you guys are going to get so many fucking suspensions, fines, and penalties. You might even get scholarships taken for how fucking dog shit this is. It's a stain on the sport. It's a stain on your program, a stain on the legacy of everything that was built by those that came before you at Michigan State. You decide to do this to your – I don't care how big of a fucking rivalry Michigan versus Michigan State is. It's despicable, despicable human behavior, and it's assault with a potentially deadly weapon, a football helmet, you fucking asswipe. Oh, sorry, I'm fucking heated about that one. Yeah, so that's my take on it. That's my feelings. That's my emotions on Michigan State and what they're going to have coming to them. I think they already have indefinitely suspended the players involved. The team decided to do that. The program decided to do that there at Michigan State. Go ahead and get in front of the curve, because I know when the NCAA looks into this, they're not going to be happy at all. Mr. Football is not going to be very happy at all. We're talking, you know, guys that are going to get their eligibility may be taken away for this action that they did. Is that fair? I think it might be, to be honest with you. If you can't uphold the traditions and values and be a respectable, commendable athlete, you don't deserve the right to play. You want to be a thug, a gangster, a piece of shit, and I know this is, oh, he's coming through. Shut the fuck up. This has nothing to do with what you think it has to do with. It has everything to do with being a man and doing what's right. These fucking kids need to learn. All right. That's enough. That's enough of that shit. It gets me heated. College football, Tennessee whipped the shit out of Kentucky. Honestly, thought Kentucky was going to hang in there a little bit better. What else happened in college football this weekend? I can't really think of anything else big. There was a couple of fights. Obviously, we talked about the big one. There's another fight on the Thursday college game too, I think, but that was on the field, so a little bit more understandable, more respectable situation to be fighting in, not after the game in the shower, like whenever people are getting ready to head to the showers and somebody's just trying to go say what's up to their homie that's in the other locker room. Like, come on, get over yourselves, get over your fucking egos. You're not Billy Badass, and if you think you were going to make it to the league, this incident's probably going to cost you your opportunities. And puts you on a list that makes it to where you're very, very, very critiqued, and you're gonna have to be a much better person if you want your opportunities back. But it is football, and ability will literally take you anywhere you want. The character, they could give a shit less about most of the time. It's starting to become obvious with some of the things that this league has, the from top to bottom, the NFL puts out there. With what does it say when they're only given short suspensions for certain things that we think that these guys maybe should never have an opportunity again? Everybody deserves redemption, a second chance, this, that, the other. But in the public eye, court of public opinion, I don't think shit's going to change. This is going to make them into a hated, hated program there in Michigan State. I feel kind of bad about this now, but Tom Brady's getting his divorce. His head's just not in the game. It's time for him to hang it up. We'll get into this because I did have a chance to keep up with that game. Like I said, I had the money on it, and I was trying to keep track of the score the whole time. Ended up on the winning side there of the Thursday night game. He just seems checked out. He's got other things on his mind, and he has an ability to check it back in and get his shit together just enough that team, if they are able to make the playoffs, they'll be fine. They might win a game in the playoffs as well if they get in. But it just seems to be over the end of the run. Long, long run for him, but it's the end of it. He reigned as the crown prince of the league for so long. But it's about over for him. And then my back-to-back MVP winner, Aaron Rodgers. Man, their offense there, it just seems like they don't know what the hell they have to do to get it together. He doesn't have his wingman in his pocket anymore. Obviously, his wingman is in Denver, and that's not going well either. So, Aaron's going to – I don't know. I think he's going to be able to improve just enough to get this offense into the right place they need to be in to make maybe a playoff push. Maybe that's what, he's a very streaky player. Whenever he's good, he's good. He's usually able to shake off his mistakes. This year, it seems like he's having a tougher time shaking off his mistakes. Maybe that's just because when he makes a mistake, it just tells more about how to stop him. Back in the day, he would throw a ball that you kind of would expect only Aaron to be able to make. And if the team was able to, the other team, catch it, they'd sometimes ride that lightning too strong. They'd get, thinking that they were in too comfortable of a position or get too comfortable, and bang, that's when Aaron hits you. So it sucks to see that as a Packer backer. But Buffalo is just so incredibly good. That Sunday night game, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but they're incredible. I almost actually profited because I picked final score 34-17. If you know how that finished. It was 27-17, meaning I was off by a touchdown and a field goal or extra point field goal. So, yeah, I was just off by the TD and the kick for getting paid $320 off a $3.20 bet because I would have had the perfect prediction on the score. But, you know, Packers defense is really good. And also that they held them to 27, which is a showing thing. It kind of shows that the Packers defense is better than what they're going to get credit for. For what it's worth, you know, Packers fans protect Aaron before they protect anybody else. I think they really do protect their quarterback and keep people from talking shit on him. But right now, it's a bit musty. The quarterback play in Green Bay is just a little bit musty. Just gonna have to figure it out. Aaron's pretty good at figuring things out. We'll see how that goes. Philly, they won. They ended up winning. You know, I have a lot of things to say about Philadelphia. Philadelphia's team, their roster, it's not as good as a lot of other teams. They just keep finding – they found a way to win their tough ones. The rest of their schedule is not really super, super tough. They've got a game against the Packers. I think that's one that they might lose. But there is a serious shot there for the Eagles to be a team that and as soon as I say this, I know they're going to lose next weekend because I'm saying this right now. There's a serious chance for them to be at that first team to try to hit that 17-game regular season with perfect. But it is Philadelphia. They find ways to disappoint their fan base often, and I don't know. It's completely different with Sirianni there, and in year two, just trying to improve. Jalen's looking nice. Just limiting mistakes and winning games is what the name of the game at the quarterback position is. Let's go ahead and get over to some UFC talk because I am going to have to go to work soon, and I actually do have something I'm going to pick up before going to work because I am getting sick and tired of not having a Bluetooth speaker that can hold a damn charge. So I'm going to go get me a nice one from the Wally World and be able to listen to my jams on my ghetto blaster. I just put it in my back seat. I mean, I got good speakers in the car, but I try to, you know, I try to, you know, listen to the radio, and it just sometimes it's aggravating. It just really is, the advertising is, which means, guess what, you guys get an anchor.fm ad. Just stick around for the UFC talk. If you are not into that, go ahead and feel free to check out. But if you could stick around for this 30-second ad, I can make some pennies off of your just phone. You can turn it to silent even, or just leave the volume to one or something. And yeah, you can also figure out how to make a podcast if you just listen to this little advertisement. All right, so we're going to go recent and then to UFC 280, the big talk, and that's what we will end with. Okay, so UFC fight night from this past weekend, Calvin Kattar versus Arnold Allen. Arnold Allen hit him with a leg kick. Calvin tried to step back after taking it. He absorbed it, but when he stepped back, it looked like a non-contact injury. It sucks. I really, really liked watching Calvin fight, but that knee, man, that's tough, and especially the style of fighter that Calvin is. A warrior, man. Hopefully, this guy is able to get back in there and do what he wants, whether it be go into coaching or fight still. After he recovers from this injury. But shout out to Arnold Allen for, you know, having the doctor stop the fight and it not, you know, or the having to have the ref stop the fight and it be a legitimate one where guys aren't complaining. You know, it's a dangerous sport. We'll get to some leg breaks. Of course, you guys have seen the big boy jiu-jitsu guy who he's you know, out there doing knee bars on in these lower paying contests. And it's kind of sad to see that, you know, these guys who probably work full-time jobs and just train on the side are getting their stuff torn out by a younger guy who's aspiring to be good in the game, but he's facing a level of competition that's not worth his time, really. If that's how easy it is for him to knee bar guys, it's just he's facing a level of competition. It's not worth his time. It's going to give him bad habits. So this is just all things that I don't know the kid's name, but you guys have seen him. If you're into the MMA and jiu-jitsu world, he's a jiu-jitsu competitor that has been knee barring the shit out of people. He's a big boy too, and he whips some ass, but very, very, very controversial the way that he does things. We got Tim Means versus Max Griffin there in that co-main event. Max Griffin was able to scrape out the decision victory. I was watching it. It looked like Tim was on his back. That was the one fight that I did get to see a chance glance on. It looked like Tim was kind of getting scraped. That's that. Waldo Cortez Acosta taking on Jared Vandera gets a decision victory. Vandera, of course, 12-10. Waldo Cortez Acosta just needed a name on his resume. Vandera, I don't know why, is here. We're sitting damn near 500 pro record. Thing is, roll with the right camp, talk the right game, keep yourself employed. That's the name of the game in this sport. Trayshawn Gore was able to get a nice submission. I did get to see the finish on that. Really, really nice job by Trayshawn Gore. Trayshawn is he's a fucking young up and comer. He's 5-2. On the feet was a little bit more accurate than his opponent. Didn't throw as high of a volume. Landed 3 out of 4 of his takedowns. The only submission that he attempts, he's able to finish the fight with. And it was a 2-round fight. You know, the feeling out process in that first round, Trayshawn Gore able to get it done is my assumption on how that looked. Dustin Jacoby took on Khalil Roundtree. Jacoby was red cornered for this thing. You know, that always pisses Khalil off whenever, you know, he gets put over in that blue side. Khalil. It's just one of those things where it's like, if you're going to second tier me to somebody that's, but then at the same time, Khalil goes out there, gets the job done, against the guy who a lot of people thought was going to, clean his clock. And, it's just nice to see some of the good guys getting in there and doing some work in fights where, you know, maybe that, the sway, the crowd, everything has them thinking and questioning what this sport is really worth for them. And it's worth everything for these guys. That's what I love the most, is these guys care so much about, you know, every little thing that they do. It makes them some of the most interesting human beings on the planet. From the prelims, the one note I will say is Chase Hooper took his third professional loss to Steve Garcia. Chase is a young and talented fighter. He said he's going to take some time off and reevaluate things. He was able to deliver a good and positive message to his fans after. So big shout outs for a young man like Chase. He's 23 years old to be able to do that. Great job, kid. Keep your head up. And like I said in that tweet, it's going to be bombs on ice when you're back. And that's just means it's going to be fun. So this coming weekend, we've got UFC Fight Night. It was supposed to be Bryce Mitchell versus Movsar Evloev, but something has happened here, and that fight got canceled. So it's disappointing. It's going to be Marina Rodriguez versus Amanda Lemos, which is a good this was a good enough woman's fight night thing here. It could have easily been, you know, the best fight on the card as the co-main, but we will see this coming weekend. Neil Magny versus Daniel Rodriguez, Chase Sherman versus Josh Parisian, Tagir Ulanbekov, Tajir, jeez, oh my god. Been reading too much on the internet today. Nathan Maines, Grant Dawson, Mark Madsen, Jailton Almeida, Max McGrishin. Oh, so there's Max Griffin and then Maxim Grishin. Okay. All right. So I was wondering why I kept getting called out for calling Max Griffin Maxim. I was like, all right, I'm stupid. Okay. I'm kind of, as the not so wise, dumb conspiracy guy Alex Jones once said, I'm kind of fucking retarded. So let's get back, circle back. It comes full circle. Let's go back to UFC 280. I didn't get to talk to you guys about it, but my predicts stood pretty strong, I think, like I said, if I said it in the intro. I think I went 4-2. I was able to make some profit off my bets there. I actually laid the perfect 3 out of the 3 of those fights with one dog and 2 slight favorites to make some solid money. I came up about $50 off of just sitting there. And I will say this, since the fights were in the UAE and the location of where the fights are, we went ahead and we streamed the fights. If the fights are stateside with good fighters that I'm willing to pay for, I will pay for them. But it's just whenever it is overseas and with fighters that, you know, I like these fighters, but their management. Wow, sorry about that noise, by the way. That sounded like the fucking ring was coming up behind me. Holy shit. I've been smoking way, way too much. Cigars, cigarettes, all that shit. Bad for me. I need to stop. But basically, the takeaways from UFC 280 are Islam Makhachev is the prodigy, the protege of Khabib Nurmagomedov and Abdulmanap Nurmagomedov. That is so, so damn good. He was able to make Charles Oliveira look like he had not been in the ring at all, when Charles has been active fighting and smashing and doing his dirtiest work of his career. Most recently, Islam's able to go in there and just turn it into a dirt fest and just able to stop him with the second round sub. Aljo winning by KO, TKO. Doctor, again, TJ Dillashaw, his shoulder was fucked up. I have no sympathy for TJ Dillashaw. He's a lying, drug cheating snake that injured his teammate and showed no remorse for it. So TJ, you reap what you sow, buddy. I will continue to profess these things because there's a young man out there whose career was cut short because of what you did, and you took no responsibility for it. And you said, oh, it's for Dillashaw, I'm the champion. Shut the fuck up. If you're the champion, have a little bit more respect for your teammates and the people around you than to be such an asshole about that situation. I don't like the guy. I used to love watching TJ fight and his background and pedigree and everything that he came from, but not no more. Sugar Sean O'Malley was able to get the decision victory over Peter Yan. I might be one of the only people in the world that believes that Sugar actually got the job done. It was close, but on thin ice, that was the thing, that was the fight that made me the money right there, was hanging it on Sean. I debated. This was the fight I was going to lay the most money on the night, and I debated, you know, should I flip a coin? And I said, no, I'm going with Sugar Sean. I think he's improved. I've seen things that make me say that he's improved. His sprawl looked pretty solid. And then right before that, friend of the show, Beneil Dariush and Matsuz Gamrot taking one another on. Beneil gets the decision victory. Caitlin Chikagian took on Manon Farreau. Manon and the French prodigy comes up with another victory. Her record improves to 10-1, and she's going to be talking her shit if she wants to get any fight that she really wants. Another friend of the show, Bilal Muhammad, taking on Sean Brady here, getting a KO in the second round there. Nice job for Bilal. We got Bilal and Beneil, who have interacted, dropped some hearts, dropped some likes on the tweets, and responded to what the fuck this guy talking about, I think, was Beneil. And Bilal was actually said something pretty friendly. I forgot what it was. So we will consider them internet friends of the show for having had an interaction in the past. But no, nothing official, nothing important. We have like I said, I was working on that thing with Jake Shields. It looks like he's starting to go into a lot of conspiracies, things like that. And I would still love to have him on the show. Like, I just don't like how sometimes he'll go back at fans who their opinion is actually so bad that it doesn't actually deserve a response. You know, it's like one of those, it's like, yeah, I don't know. But, shout out though to the people that stand up for their family, stand up for their rights, that do the things the way that Abdul-Manap taught and raised his fighters to do to protect their people and what they love and what they cherish. It's so important to have leaders and have names and guys like the Abdul-Manap that are just teachers and givers in this sport. So rest in peace to Abdul-Manap. And you know he's smiling so heavy looking down from the afterlife and smiling at what his son and what his family, his band / family of fighters does, because it is basically just a family of fighters that he has created. And it's awesome. It's very, very, very awesome what they have done. Islam is going to be the champion, in my opinion, I think, for a long time. It just might be, unless mistakes are made. He should be the champion for a long time. And even if, you know, he gets defeated, he's going to be a guy that's going to be in this top five of the 155-pound division for a while, unless he decides to go up to 170, which I think he fully is capable of doing. But 155 is the marquee division with the names that people know right now. So, thank you guys all for listening to this episode of the Roundtable Sports Podcast. If you just listened to the NFL portion, thank you. If you just listened to the UFC portion, thank you very much as well. You can find me at Talk More Sports on Twitter. I am planning on, once I get off work tonight, to throw the Roundtable logo up and the audio up and put this thing on YouTube to try to grow the fan base over there as well. Go Kansas City, go Chiefs, hey, stay safe out there.